Well, welcome back, dolls, to another episode of So My Mom's a Therapist podcast. You know, kind of was deciding what I wanted to talk about this week. And one of the things that came to mind is I was sitting with a lot of clients coming back, a lot of people coming back from vacation, and noticing again that spike in anxiety and stress. So that's what we're going to tackle today. If you know anybody that struggles with anxiety, panic attacks, again, this is a disclaimer, this is not therapy. Although if you don't have access to a therapist, I'm going to share with you some of the ways that I approach in explaining to a client what is going on in your body when you're struggling with anxiety and what are some tools that we can use that help us manage that anxiety in our body. Did you notice the word I used there? I didn't say make it go away. If there's anything I hear from clients that come in, and anyone who's ever struggled with anxiety, it's like, I just want it to go away. How do you get rid of this? Such human nature. Absolutely, we want to get rid of it. However, it doesn't work that way. So we're going to talk about our perspective shift with anxiety, and we're going to talk about some tools of what we can do to help manage our anxiety. But before we get started, I have to tell you, I'm a week back from my Spain trip, and all I keep thinking is, when do I get to run away again? And I want to share that with you, because this is the beauty in creating. I always say snacks and meals. We need small things and big things that add joy to our life. And the thing about a trip, maybe it's not going to be a big trip. Maybe it's a day trip or a weekend trip. But the thing about having a trip to look forward to is you get all these feel goods leading up to it. You get all these positive experiences of being on vacation. And then you get this like residual afterdue. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing now, where I'm like, yeah, that was so damn good. I keep showing people the pictures. I'm like, look at this food. It looks like art. It was amazing. I like ate my way through the town. I don't know if I've ever had so much octopus in my life. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like an octopus growing in my belly at this point. I mean, I think I've like ate so many parts of octopus, and it was so yummy. But it also, I was just reflecting on the fact that, like, it's okay to escape life every now and then. That's not a bad thing, to get a break from life, to be able to say, you know what, I just want to run away from my own life. Now, if we're doing it on a daily basis and we're doing it through a coping mechanism of alcohol or drugs or gambling, whatever, again, we're not making those bad, but these things that we use, these elements, these resources we use in our life to escape life that we cannot tolerate it, that's different. But we want to create a swing in life. And I talked about this on the podcast last week. And one of those swings is, it's okay. It's okay to give your brain a break from life. It's okay to be able to say, I want to run away from my own life. I said it myself, like, I wanted to run away from my own life, and it was good. And I felt like a kid and a little girl, and that's okay. That's not being childish. That's being childlike. And it's fine. A body that has a lot of trauma, a body that's in survival mode, it often, we cannot do it in that moment. But one of the things after we get out of a trauma state or out of a survival state is learning how to incorporate those things back in. And I'm telling you, if you're somebody who likes traveling, if you're like me and like travel is your oxygen, I mean, it's right up there with chocolate and a nice glass of wine. It is, then you're going to want to check out San Sebastian, Spain. I'm making a plug for them. I'm telling you, it was one of those magical little towns. There was hiking, there was biking, there was shopping, there was the beach. If you want to do nothing but lay by the beach, you can do that as well. The people were wonderful and beautiful, and it was just a culture that was so inviting and carefree, and I loved everything about it. So put that on your list. Go check it out. I mean, look at the pictures. I'm telling you, I told my girlfriends, I'm like, pull up the pictures. And they're like, this is not what it looked like. I'm like, that's what it looked like. That's not filtered. Absolutely fantastic and a great place to visit. As we're getting to just one more announcement as we're getting started, I did open up the groups for September. So I have two groups. My group in August has one spot left, but our groups in September that are opening up, there is one about I can't trust. If you are somebody or you know of somebody who has a hard time when they get into a relationship, when they're dating, when they're in a relationship, and they get so blown out of their body and they cannot trust for the life of them, they cannot trust. And even though in their head they're like, I know they're trustworthy, or maybe we don't know they're trustworthy, but my body is just going rogue and I cannot trust. I have a 3-hour group session, coaching, listening, answering your questions. These are limited to 10 people. I have that one in September, and I have another one about healing from heartbreak and how to date again. So if you're somebody who is struggling letting go of somebody and struggling with your heartbreak and your loss and your breakup, those are the two groups. They're limited to 10 people. If you want to know when these are coming out, You can sign up. You can go onto my Stan store. It's in the bio in any of my platforms. You can go and get on the email list. You will not get inundated with a lot of emails. I don't have time for that shit. I don't. But you can get on the email list. What's the benefit of that? You get first dibs on those, and they're limited to 10 people, and they're affordable. So if you do not have time, if you don't have the resources to get a therapist, or you feel like you're not a good fit for somebody, I made it affordable. It's $150. That's $50 an hour, which is way cheaper than I charge for a one-on-one session. So it's affordable. You're getting a lot of information that you can take notes on, and you're getting some of that one-on-one time where you can ask your questions. So check that out if it's something that you feel like would be helpful. Also, there was a new video on the Stan store called it's called Dating Apps My Best Friend. We had a good time making up that title, but it's how to use dating apps effectively so they can work for us and make our life better and actually be something we enjoy in our life instead of something that we dread. So check that out. As always, if you have a chance, if you could go on, rate, review, and subscribe, that allows us to reach more people and grow as we go. And I have to tell you, I actually had a really cool thing happen last night. I got to go out to dinner with an artist and a singer who I met through TikTok, and just such an awesome guy. And we had such a great time, and we were talking about it, and we were talking about what we share on TikTok and what drives us to keep making TikTok videos and him putting out his music and just kind of hearing about his life and what adds value and what makes his life enjoyable. And then one of the things I was saying is, like, when I feel it's effective, when I see somebody comment and say, this was so helpful, oh my gosh, this made so much sense, I'm working on looking at dating differently, I'm working on having grace for myself differently, that's why I keep making these. So if it adds value and it feels like it helps you, then I am one happy mama. All right. So with that, let's get started on today as we talk about anxiety. Okay, doll. So we're going to tackle anxiety today. We're going to start by looking at what is going on in our body. What is happening in our nervous system that causes anxiety? We're going to be looking at different levels of anxiety. And then we're going to be talking about, second, the approach to anxiety, followed up by a few tools that I can put in your hands. Again, disclaimer, this is not therapy. If you are somebody who really struggles in a debilitating way from anxiety, from panic attacks, I would encourage you to seek out professional help. It is a hard way to live. Sometimes it's like being in a cage and trapped in your own body, and that makes it a very unpleasant place to live. Sometimes it's been there so long that our body's gotten like kind of used to functioning in a way. It's kind of like if you were stuck in a cage and knowing you couldn't get out, and your body would be like, no, I kind of like, I can do this. I can be here in this cage, not realizing how stifling, how stuck, how limited it is, because we've learned to adapt and incorporate that into our life. So if you're thinking, you know, I think there might be more cut out to this. Maybe my anxiety feels better than it did 2 years ago, but I'm wondering if there's like a next level of healing, if there's even more freedom I can get from this. And then I would encourage you, again, to be able to check out some of those tools and see if they help. Well, let's start with that first point of what is going on in our body that causes anxiety. I often talk about using the resiliency zone. This is from Trauma Resiliency Model, which I'm certified in. And the resiliency zone is basically, it is our regulated state where our nervous system is in a parasympathetic state. That does not mean we're always zen, and you've heard me talk about this before, but it means I'm able to manage my emotions in a way that I can be stressed but feel okay. I can be bummed and feel okay, but I still feel like I'm managing what I'm doing and what I'm saying. It feels like in some ways I have some sense of managing or having control of that. And that lets us know that front part of our brain, that prefrontal cortex, is online and working. That front part of our brain does all of our problem solving, strategizing. It's the part of our brain that lets us know you're okay. You're going to be okay. We're just fine here. Look at you go. Those are all parts that we're able to access in that front part of our brain. It's one of the reasons why I feel, although CBT is helpful, cognitive behavior therapy, it's a top-down approach, which uses, I have to have access to my brain. The problem is oftentimes what happens is our nervous system gets tripped. We go from being in our zone to out of our zone, from a parasympathetic state to a sympathetic state where we are blown out of our zone. What does it look like when we're blown out of our zone? Well, we can bump up high and we can bump out low. And today I'm just going to be talking about that bumping out high. When we bump out high, we go from our nervous system turns on. And when our nervous system turns on, that front part of our brain that does all our reasoning and logic, that goes offline. And the amygdala, that middle part of our brain that is that like sniffing out a threat, potential threat, right? The parts of our brain that go into survival mode, fight, flight, freeze, right? There's one also called befriend, where we actually try to connect and move towards. Those are all survival parts of a brain that will kick in. So when I talk about anxiety, when I'm bumped high out of my zone, it can look like my body's tense. It can look like my heart rate is high. It can cause a very much a fight response or a panic response in our body. Some of the things that would fall under anxiety, this is not an exhaustive list, but those are things like general anxiety disorder, like I'm high. I can get intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts are thoughts that go crashing into my head a lot. Whether I want them there or not, they're coming in and they tend to be very strong. How do you know that's safe? How do you know that's not going to happen again? Well, don't get too happy because it might happen all over again, right? Those are intrusive thoughts that run into our head, intrusive movies. You can actually have movies that play out in your mind over and over again. So that can fall under that. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, that can fall under there as well. So those are some things that our body does to try to gain control and hold on. And again, that's being bumped out high. Again, not an exhaustive list, but want to give you a few ideas of things that fall under that. Okay. So what is going on? What is happening? Well, oftentimes we can tell what the trigger is. Oftentimes we can't tell what the trigger is, but we get bumped out of our zone. When I'm working with a client, once we're able to start working on regulating our body, and I'll come back to that in a second, we'll often take a look back and say, let's see if we can understand what's going on in our body that bumps us out in the first place. We can look at our family of origin. That has a lot to do with it often, and our wiring, the way our bodies are wired and made, right? Our DNA and our life experiences growing up. And so we'll look at all those to understand why our body's reacting the way it does. But ultimately, our goal is recognizing when I'm bumped out of my zone and that fight or flight response, right? And my anxiety kicks in, then our goal is to work on how do I help get myself back into my zone? Now, it's not in zone good, out of zone bad. Although we tend to like who we are, we'll say, oh my gosh, that's so not like me. No, that's you, sweets. That's just you out of your zone, right? But we usually don't like the way we act because it either feels like we're out of control or impulsive because our body is scrambling to try to get something to help us feel better, right? And that's what a survival mode is. We often don't like the way that we act, but I really work with clients. I'm like, go easy. Go easy. Your brain's not trying to hurt you. It's not trying to do things to sabotage you. It's really trying to protect you and help you feel better. So I'll often pause and be like, well, hold on. When your brain comes in and says, don't get too happy there. If I'm working with a client who's starting to feel better, oftentimes there'll be part of them that panic goes, oh, wait, you felt too good for too long. Don't get excited there. And I'll be like, what's your brain trying to do? What's your brain trying to do? And they will say something along the lines of like, well, it's just trying to protect me because it's afraid if I get too comfortable and it happens again, I may be blindsided. That's right. It is trying to protect you. So I want to come in. We build this internal parent voice that says, thank you, brain. Thank you, body. You are working very hard to protect me. We're going to go a different direction now, but you are working really hard to protect me. And then we work at trying to come up with resources. Resources are things that we are putting in our tool belt that we can try that help get us back into our zone. It may not be a big drop right back into feeling better. I mean, if you guys are able to figure that out, somebody send that my direction. We could make millions. If all of a sudden you're able to come up with like, oh, these things just boom, boom, put me right back in my zone. Usually resources do a little knockoff. It helps me feel a little better here and a little bit better here. Now, I had mentioned before, most of my clients come in with this sense of, I just want this to go away. In actuality, our natural human nature is to want to move away from something that's hurting us. Depression, suicide, pain. Somebody's hurt me. How do I make this pain go away? Why? Because it's human nature not to run towards a fire. So go a little easy on yourself when you're like, I just want to make it go away. Yeah, we don't want to move towards a fire. We don't want to move towards something that's uncomfortable and painful and hard to have, right? So we recognize our human nature is to want to run away or get rid of something. However, think about this for a moment. Think about it as weight loss. If somebody just wants to drop 20 pounds quick, I don't care how I do it. I just want to get it off. You know, get skinny quick. That used to be a big thing when I was young, right? Do this like MetaFast diet and you can drop 20 pounds. Do this celery fast and you can drop 20 pounds. Is that thing even still around? I look back now, who thought that was a good idea, a celery juice? I mean, you're just not getting, let's just be honest, you're not getting off the toilet. You have horrible gas. And by the way, if that's how you lose 20 pounds, it's just going to come right back on because you haven't changed any of your habits. Did anybody else do that? I'm dating myself here. They had really dumb shit back then. And guess what? We all tried it. We all tried it. I mean, some lemon cayenne, some celery fast. I don't know what the hell I was doing. But at that point, again, because I know what I was doing. When you get desperate, you are trying anything to help yourself feel better. But I want you to think about it. What always drives us crazy when they talk about losing weight? Lifestyle. You need a lifestyle change. And most people are like, fuck the lifestyle change. Just show me how to get it off and how to get it done. And we tend to do that with anxiety or depression or pain in our life. I don't care. I just get rid of it. I want to get rid of it. However, if you just get rid of something and you haven't learned how to manage being anxious, being depressed, having a panic attack, when I haven't learned how to walk through that or move through that, a wave, and it's a wave, by the way, it's a wave. Although our body may feel like it gets stuck, our body cannot stay in a panic state. It cannot stay in that. Although it's going to feel like it's forever, your body, your physiologically, your body can't sustain that. But how do I ride through that wave and get us back down? Now, why is that important? Because I need to be able to learn how to trust myself to manage when anxiety comes in. Because if not, if I just got rid of the anxiety, then my body would still stay in a distressed state because it would say to itself, well, I may be fine now, but if it comes back, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So we want to build in a lifestyle that I can learn how to trust myself to navigate when those anxiety waves, if they were to come back. Now, here's what happens. The more I build in those resources, and I'm going to give you a few to try today, the more I build in those resources of things I can try that help when I get bumped out of my zone, help get me back into my zone, the more I feel like I can do that. The waves don't go away right away. But what I do know about them is the intensity of those anxiety waves come down, and the frequency gets shorter. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. The more we learn how to trust ourselves with tools to help get ourselves back into our zone, ride that anxiety wave and get back into our zone, the intensity goes down and the frequency gets shorter. Why? Because our body goes, oh, it's not as threat. It's not as damaging because I know how to help myself. I can trust myself to navigate those waves and get me back in. It does not happen overnight. It is hard work. But if you need to, you can borrow my hope dolls. You know, I love to tell you that. I have seen this with my own eyes. I've seen it. I'll have some clients, oh my gosh, it like makes me beam. I will hear them say, promise me it won't always look this way. And I will snap right back without a second. And I said, I promise you, it will not always feel this way. If you are someone who has struggled with anxiety, I want you to hear my words. I promise you, it will not always feel this way. We got to get some tools in there. We maybe need to get a professional if it's debilitating, but I guarantee you, and I would get a body-based. Everyone asks me who I recommend. I would look for a body-based EMDR, trauma resiliency model, body sensory, body-based therapist, because that way we can really address what's going on in our body. You may know in your head who you are. You may know in your head what to say. But when you are struggling with anxiety, your brain goes offline and we don't have access to it until we get back into our zone. Then that prefrontal cortex comes back in and then we can help ourselves. Right? You know, not to make a plug for the trust video I'm going to be doing in September, but oftentimes when we're asking and we're needing our partner to help us build trust with them, sometimes it's not even about building trust with them. It's about asking for what we need to help regulate our body, get back in our zone so I can think clearly. That's a different perspective of looking at it. If I have a trauma history, if I have a trauma history of being cheated on, if I have a trauma history of people not being trustworthy, sometimes I do believe you truly are trustworthy. However, I may need additional information. We may need to look at your phone together so I can get my information so that my body can regulate myself and I can feel better. I promise you it won't always look like this, but in the beginning of a relationship, I may need to approach it that way. So if that's something that you feel like you can relate to, like you have a hard time trusting someone even though your head knows they're trustworthy, you may want to sign up for that group session in September. All right, so let's get back to what we're talking about. All right, so we covered our first point. That's what's going on in our nervous system. We get bumped out of our zone. Our brain goes into fight or flight mode, right? Which is where oftentimes those thoughts come in, the actions come in. That's where we'll shoot off all these texts, or we'll panic, or we'll run towards our partner if we're anxious attachment and say, no, don't let go, because our brain is like in survival mode. It is afraid everything's on the line, and it's afraid it's going to lose everything, and it's trying to grab hold of something that can help regulate it and get it back in our zone. What we're, again, trying to do is come up with a tool belt of things that help get us back in our zone, right? So there's going to be a variety. And this is, I will work on this till the day I die. I work on this in my own life. I work on it with clients. It's finding things that help get us back into our zone. And we want things that are self-regulating and co-regulating. Things that I can do for myself, What? What are some things I can do for myself? Well, when we blow out of the zone on the top of our zone, when we've bumped out high, oftentimes we need to get energy out of our body. So going for a run, hitting a boxing bag, hopping on a Peloton bike, right? I need to be able to get things out of my body. If you're somebody who doesn't have access to those, doing wall squats, push-ups, try yelling at the ground doing push-ups. If you're somebody who has an anger issue, I want for when that actually can be tied to anxiety, is because that when we yell at somebody or we're fighting with somebody, it actually gets all the pressure out of us. Think about it. It's like a balloon. That balloon gets tighter, 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 bigger, bigger, bigger. It feels like it's going to pop. And when we start yelling at somebody, the balloon comes back down. So although we don't like getting in a fight, our body has learned that it gets some relief. So we're saying, no, no, we know that balloon got pressurized. We got pressurized. We need to get the air out of that balloon, but we need to point it in a way that's not destructive. When I'm working with couples, I'll use the example of a fire hydrant. And I'm like, the water's got to come out of the fire hydrant, but we got to shift where we're pointing the fire hydrant so it's not shooting at our partner. Because if it shoots it at a partner, it knocks our partner down and then they're not able to help us. Right? So I often teach couples language that say, no, no, I'm on your team. Point your fire hydrant elsewhere. I can't help you if it's aimed at me. Right? And let's just be honest. If you've been in a relationship, there's times your partner is unloading their fire hydrant at you. And all of a sudden you realize, I think this has nothing to do with me. We got to point that fire hydrant somewhere else. That's part of building that tool belt. All right. So self-regulating. Right. Self-regulating can look for things. I like to go through body smells. Do you have a smell that is really eucalyptus, a lavender that if you smell it, again, it helps get your body back in. A hot tea, a hot drink. Can I feel that warmth of the drink? Right. On the other end, again, you got to experiment. Experimenting is not about if it works or doesn't work. We're just experimenting. And I'm saying, oh, if this is helpful, I'm adding it. Even if it's a 0.05, like little edge off. Right. Again, this comes with a disclaimer. This is not therapy. This is just suggestions. But if you have a medical rule out and you know you don't have any health problems, often I'll have clients put their hand into an ice bucket. Again, this is just, again, disclaimer. If you know for sure there's no heart issues and your body feels like it's in a good place, sometimes putting your hand in a bucket of ice with a little bit of water, taking a cold can and putting it against your face. Why is that ice? Why is a cold can or putting an ice cube in your hand? It's one of those that kind of bumps our nervous system back down, kind of just bumps it down and tries to give us just a chance to get down because it'll feel so stuck sometimes out of our zone. If you're somebody that struggles from panic attacks, I'll tell you right now, one of the most helpful things, I struggled with those for about 15 years ago. And I remember one of the most helpful things somebody said to me is, you know, no one's ever died of a panic attack. And I was like, are you sure? Because it felt like I was on my way out. Like, this is full-blown heart attack. And they're like, yes, no one's ever died of an anxiety attack or a panic attack. And that one like kind of stuck with me. But I did learn I had to ride through that wave. If I was in the car, I'd pull my car over. I'd get out into the cold air. Cold air is important. I'd shake my hands. I would walk back and forth. And I would ride it through like I was riding through a birthing contraction. And I've mentioned this before. If you haven't had babies, it's a bitch. I'm just telling you right now, I missed drugs with the last one. Most painful 25 minutes in my life. I was only in labor 25 minutes. Still most painful 25 minutes of my life. Although when I broke my pelvis, that was up there too. But what you do is you have to breathe through that contraction. So when I think about an anxiety or panic attack, I want to breathe through that contraction knowing it's going to come back down. Something else, that these are all grounding techniques, find a color. Your brain is offline. When you are bumped out so high out of your zone, your brain's offline, so you cannot use any of your reasoning. So we got to go very primary, very primal. Find a color on the wall. Find a texture. Put a texture in your hand. What do you feel? Right? So those are things that ground us. I'll say to a client, what color do you see in my room? And they'll say, black. Okay, can you focus on the black? Okay. Find me another color. And they'll go to another color. Okay. So these are things that help ground us and get us back into our body. Again, we're trying to edge our way back down so we can get back into our zone. So our prefrontal cortex comes back on so then we can communicate and we can take care of ourselves. Okay. But go easy on yourself, dolls. Another thing too, to keep in mind, if you've had a lot of trauma history or a history with anxiety, that zone can often get very, very, very narrow. So it doesn't take much to bump us out. So when I'm working with clients, what I'm doing a lot of the time is I'm working on how do I expand that zone to make it bigger? So it's still uncomfortable, but our brain's still intact. And I still remember when I was doing this work myself. You know, that musician that I met and had dinner with, that's one of the things he said. He's like, are you this balanced in real life, or you just do this like to teach other people? And I was like, well, first of all, I'm human. I'm human. I have emotions. I'm still figuring out life with you guys. But a lot of what I'm teaching when it comes to body and brain are things that I've worked, had to work on in my own life and still work on. And I'm sharing them because they've been effective and they've been game changers in my life. Right. And so, yes, I so appreciated him asking that. And I was like, no, I'm living this out. And no, I'm still human. And I allow myself to struggle. But one of the things I had to do in my own life because of my trauma history is my zone was very narrow and it did not take much to bump me out. And the work I did with my therapist was how to expand that zone. So I was still uncomfortable. And I still remember the day I said to her, and she said, how you doing? And I said, you know, it was a hard week. It was uncomfortable. But I'm okay. And she was like, whoa, what's that like to say? And I get choked up thinking about it now. I said, I'm really proud of myself because this has been hard work, but to know I'm not always stuck in the way I used to feel and panicked all the time and anxious all the time and trying to protect myself all the time because my poor body had been through a lot. And to know that there's neuroplasticity and I wasn't stuck in that and that I could grow and I could change was life-changing for me. Life-changing, right? So that's one of the, so going back to this, so those are some self-regulating. I've given you some extreme ones and I've given you some low-level ones, but you got to experiment. Is there a food? Is there a drink? Can I take a fizzy drink, drink it, put it in your mouth, leave it there for a moment, don't move on, let it drop into your throat, and give it 12 to 15 seconds and see what you notice in your body, right? Anything that's in the head, even if I'm trying to analyze or strategize, I'm still in my head. That's not grounding and getting back in my body. And we need to ground and get back in our body because that's what calms our nervous system back down and puts us back into that parasympathetic state. The other thing we want to look at is self-regulating and co-regulating. What does co-regulating look like? Well, I'll tell you the one that I learned that was really helpful was when I recognized there was times that my body was blown out of my zone. I could not help myself. And I would turn and I'd ask my partner, can you give me, I just need a hug. And I let him know ahead of time, there's times I'm going to ask for a hug and I don't want to explain what's going on in my body, but I'm going to ask for a hug. And if you could just hug me really tight, it helps me regulate my body. And I would teach him all the language about in zone, out of the zone. That's what happens when you're with the therapist. Welcome. Same thing if you have a mama that's a therapist. They're like, oh shit, here she goes again. You know, one of my kiddos now, they have the permission to be able to say, can I just say when I've had enough? And I said, yes. So I will talk about some therapy and they're like, okay, I think we're good. I think we're good now. Yeah, and I know that's my cue to like sign off, take off my therapy hat, right? So one of the things I can ask for my partner is a hug. And I want you to experiment. Even if your partner is the one that you're having a hard time trusting, can I still ask them or does that feel too threatening, right? Can I ask for a hug? And I want you to experiment a tight hug and a loose hug. What does it feel? Have them get tighter, tighter, tighter and see what you notice in your body. Right? That's a side note. Another one for self-regulating that I do, I'll experiment with music in my car. Music on. Is that helpful? Turn the volume up. What do I notice? Turn it up like super loud. Like, am I screaming, singing? I'm screaming, singing along with the music. What do I notice in my body? Better, worse? I'm looking at things that help get me back in my zone. If you have a pet, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. My dogs, those are like, oh, those are resourcing right there. I just snuggle and I grab them and I pet them. And that helps get us back into our zone too. When I do this video, if you do see it on YouTube, I would love, love, love if you could actually add what you have found that is helpful for you. Everybody's different. It's going to be different for different people, but we want to build a tool belt. What I found, things that are calming to our body, help getting our body, things that are calming, things also that are get us out into nature tend to be helpful to getting outdoors, moving our body. There is so much research out there that getting our heart rate up, moving our body, actually moving, getting energy out of our body is so tied to our mental health, to our anxiety levels and our depression levels, is getting that heart rate up, sweating and getting outdoors. So that's where I try to start. Even if you're not athletic, that is an important piece that is very tied to our mental health. Well, I've given you a few that are helpful. I'm going to end on one as we wrap up. If you are someone that really struggles with social anxiety, what I'll have clients do, I'll have them take their hands. If you're not watching the video, I'll take my palms and I'll kind of put them opposite each other so that I look like as if I'm like, like I'm freezing and holding my own hands. It's kind of like if you were to praying, but you're like grabbing your own grip if you were to pray. And I'm going to like freezing and I'm going to push my palms together. So I'm going to take my palms and I'm going to push my palms together and I'm going to push so hard until I almost feel my arms shake. And then I'm going to let go. And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to push my palms together until I feel my arms shaking. And if you're doing this, I'm going to pause for a moment. I want you to do this with me. Stop. Put your phone down. If you're in the car, do it. Pause the tape. Come back to the podcast when you're at a stop sign. Put your hands together. Push really hard, as hard as you can, as hard as you can. Like, go, 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 go. And then let go. See what you notice in your body. If you're in a social setting, in a public setting, underneath the table, you can put your hands and you can squeeze your hands together. Squeeze it where you can feel your nails in the middle of your palm. Squeeze your fists super tight and then let go. And again, these are little things, but they're all things that help get us back in our body. Take an edge off. So we want to try one thing after another, tool after tool after tool after tool. Don't stop trying tools, because if we have tools we're trying, that makes us feel hopeful. And hopeful means things won't always look the way we do now. As long as we have tools on our hands, we are hopeful that something will help, something will take an edge off. It's when we don't have any tools that we feel helpless, that we feel it'll always will look this way, and we feel stagnant, like there's not movement. Tools are what helps keep us hopeful. Well, dolls, I hope that was helpful. I hope that was helpful. If you have any questions that come out of this, if you want more tools, if you want a part two, you let me know. You know, I love my part twos. I do. I really, really do. If anything, if somebody comes to mind and you know they struggle with this, can you pass this along to them? Can you let them know they're not the only one, that there's so many, myself included, that have really struggled? I used to beat myself up for how out of my zone I used to get and my behavior out of my zone. I would just be so hard on myself for my behavior out of my zone. And I've learned out of time, oh no, that's just me. I may be a hot mess at time, but that's just me out of my zone. And I've learned how to get myself back into my zone, right? So I can trust myself to navigate when those bump outs hit, because you are going to be bumped out. I don't care how controlled somebody looks. If you are human, you get bumped out. You bump out high, you bump out low. Everybody bumps out. Everybody bumps out. If you breathe and you go to the bathroom, you bump out of your zone, right? You're human. And so we have to start to say, how do I have grace for myself? How do I learn to have grace for myself when I'm out of my zone? And how do I help get myself back in? Because these bodies need our help. They don't need to be chastised. They don't need to be penalized. This is not punitive. We need to start learning and building a voice inside of us that says, oh boy, we've been through a lot. Some things we had control over, a lot of things we did not have control over. So how do we start to tend to these bodies and take care of them? Because we will spend more time in our thoughts and with these bodies than anybody else on this planet. So how do we start to be kind with our body, protective, and help our body feel better? All right. With that, dolls, be kind to people, be kind to yourself. And I will sign off. Talk to you soon. Bye.